Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. I think my ideal time to be in the world is at dusk in the summertime, around 7:30, between 7:30 and 8:30. Twilight time. It's when fireflies come out and the air is just perfect. And there's something about it, especially in the summertime when you were kids and you're just finishing up playing. And it'll always be my favorite time. We were talking about how people who grew up in other parts of the world and other parts of the country even didn't get to experience fireflies. And the wonder when you see a kid see fireflies, they just light up.
So now you're bragging about how lucky you are to live where you live and that not everyone gets to have fireflies.
I know. Well, they probably have other cool things. Like the West Coast, they have coyotes.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. What else do they have? They have condors. We don't have condors. We have vultures. Whenever I see a vulture, I think, probably because of the way they're depicted in, you know, children's books and stuff. And they're always like bad. They're never good. Vultures are never good in kids' books and stuff.
Also, here's another East Coast phrase. That's neither here nor there.
That's East Coast?
No.
Oh, that's true. Okay. It just applies to what I'm... It applies to this whole opening, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom. You're listening to Life is Short. I am your neither here nor there host, Justin Long. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom. With me, as always, in his new studio. I'm in Christian's new house, and he's got a little studio that we've transferred over here.
I would say it's our studio.
Our studio in your house. It's really cool. Does it sound different, listeners?
I hope not.
Fireflies are...
It might sound better.
It might, yeah.
We'll see, listeners.
Fireflies are cool because is it only the females that, or only the males that light up?
I don't know.
I don't think that's why they're cool. That's a very insect misogynist thing to say.
Canceled.
In the bug world, I'm canceled. But it's also interesting that around that time, my favorite time, those great bugs, the fireflies come out, but also mosquitoes. So you have to take the good with the bad.
Oh my God. There are so many mosquitoes in this neighborhood.
Oh yeah. I heard that you had a big, I heard that you, according to our mother, that you ran outside. She was really worried. She loves finding things to worry about. And she said, Coco Christian, I'm so worried. He runs outside and his poor little legs, I don't know if she said poor little legs, but they're just covered. The whole leg is covered in mosquitoes.
I mean, I got to say, that's not really an exaggeration.
Oh, really?
It wasn't an exaggeration. It was.
How, why were they so bad here?
Apparently, and I didn't know this when I bought this house, but apparently they're like notoriously bad in this area.
Oh, huh.
Like the worst in the state.
Well, because you're near the water.
It's the perfect storm. It's like near the water.
Like marshes.
It's very low lying. It's it's like everything that could make mosquitoes bad. So I got this woman to come out and spray this organic spray, this mosquito spray around the perimeter of the yard. And it completely solved the problem.
Really?
I haven't seen or felt a mosquito in couple weeks.
I notice you no longer have hair on your legs. Is that
and huge splotchy welts all over my body?
Yeah. Ooh.
I haven't seen one though.
Well, good. Well, you take the good with the bad.
Yeah. It really is like experiencing summer. I mean, you're talking about those great summer nights with fireflies. Summer days without mosquitoes makes the day better.
Where do you draw the line? Because have you ever met people who are such animal lovers? My girlfriend's mother is she feels bad killing flies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have said you're an animal lover too, but you don't feel bad killing flies.
I kind of relish it. I celebrate it, if anything, which sounds kind of sadistic. But I was thinking about what is the cutoff like between, you know, compassion for animals and not wanting to harm an animal? Like what size? Is it a size? Is it like something that you imagine to be intellectual, sentient?
I took an animal ethics course when I was in college, and we tackled all those types of issues. And
really?
Yeah, it was really interesting. That's a huge factor.
It's size?
It's being sentient and like the ability to feel pain and how much pain, which
how do they know?
Which
how
often corresponds to the size of the brain.
Right, that makes sense.
So if you're talking about like a gnat or a fly even, those brains are so small that the pain level is going to be very low. For one thing. And also, I think another thing you have to balance out is what they're doing for the world and how they're contributing to the ecosystem. So mosquitoes, for example, don't do anything. Like, they're just nuisances. Why are we talking about mosquitoes and
this time of day to dusk?
Some may fireflies.
Say a time you could call twilight.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Are you getting a little bit more of a...
Yes. Because, can I say it?
Yes.
Because I'm answering my own rhetorical question right now.
I often do that. I think that's part of the show at this point.
It's part of the charm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say charm. Because our guest today was in the hit movies. Not just
franchise.
Hit. Well, I stopped myself because when I said hit, I realized how much of an understatement that was. They weren't just hit movies.
No.
They were like
behemoths.
Oh, yeah. What's bigger? They were iconic, like generational.
Yeah, they defined movies. They defined a generation.
They
not
did.
Our generation.
No.
Have you seen them?
Let's talk about that later.
Okay. Our guest today is the star, one of the stars, co-stars, of the Twilight franchise, Peter Facinelli. Sorry, I took your...
No, your, please. I wasn't getting there.
No,
Someone had to say you lost
some steam. Peter Facinelli, who we also know from our generation, loved a movie called Can Hardly Wait. And he was one of the stars of that. He's been in many things. We talk about fatherhood. He's now in the role of fatherhood again.
Yes.
He's been in...
he works all the time. He directs and...
Yes.
He's behind the camera now.
Yes. He is a jack of all trades. A Peter of all trades. And we're going to talk to him. I can't hardly wait to talk to him.
You knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I was excited. Ramped up to that. But let's do it. So let's do it. And here he is, the star of the Twilight franchise and Can't Hardly Wait and many other things, Peter Facinelli.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doot-doot-doot-doot-shaboom. Hello, hello again, shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Peter, people think we're just beginning now. In fact, for the last 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah, a solid 15 minutes to figure. You have an excuse. You're not used to doing, you don't do this all the time.
No, I mean, I have been on Zooms since like COVID started. So yeah. Like, I have zero excuse because you think I would have gotten it, you know.
I know. It's a little different, though, because we're recording. I know. But I have no excuse because I do it every week.
I was on a Zoom once, and there's a button where you could take your picture off. It's like hide your profile or something. And I thought that meant that people couldn't see me, but it just meant that I couldn't see me. So I was like, I was in a class, actually. I was taking this class, and there's like 15 people in there in the class that I don't even know. And I was at work, like I had a white van, you know, waiting for me downstairs to take me on to set. And I was like, oh, last 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I started panicking because I was like, I'm going to be late for work. So I said, I'll just multitask and I'll take this into the bathroom and I'll take a shower while I'm listening.
No.
So like,
no.
Yeah. So I take the computer in, I rip off my shirt. I'm like flexing in the mirror, like, oh, I got to go to the gym. And then somebody goes, have you been working out? And I was like, oh my God, can they see me? And I freeze, like that can do anything, right? I start panicking, hitting all the buttons. I was like, can you guys see? Thank God I didn't take my pants off yet because I was about to.
Do you think they knew that you had pressed some button that you couldn't see yourself and that was their like nice way of alerting
you?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, have you been working out? That's almost more embarrassing than just taking your pants off. Yeah. I'd be less embarrassed if I just took my pants off than if I were flexing, like admiring myself in the mirror.
I was like slapping my muscles, like, am I getting socks to go to the gym today? I'm thinking in my head. And somebody's like, because I was like flexing like this, they were like, have you been working out? And I'm shirtless, and the whole class is staring at me, and I don't see me. So I'm like, and then what's worse is I was on mute. So then I'm like hitting all the buttons, trying to talk. Like,
what was it a class for? Body sculpting.
I don't know. I took so many classes during COVID because I was so bored. I got certified in hypnotherapy.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. What compelled you to do that?
Well, I've always
you were hypnotized into doing it.
Yeah. No, I've always been interested in hypnotherapy because I think there's something fascinating about the mind. You know, because you can listen. Especially for what we do, you know, as actors, you're always putting yourself in a state, you know? But with hypnotherapy, I mean, look, people hypnotize themselves all the time. You know what I mean? You either psych yourself up or you suck yourself out, right? So if you're like, oh my God, this is going to go so bad, I don't feel it, then all of a sudden you manifest that because what you believe will come true. So like if you could tap into your own mind and give yourself suggestions to be like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be easy. And
like manifesting.
Then all of a sudden, like, you reprogram your mind to believe that, because we are everything we believe, right? Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Was there a specific incident? Was there something that inspired you to want to delve deeper into that?
Well, when I was younger, like coming out of, I think when I first started taking acting classes, I was just terrified. Like I wasn't like the ham that was like, I love to be on stage. Like
you weren't like a born performer.
No. Yeah. I was so shy that I couldn't even get in the lunch line at school. Like paralyzingly shy. Like for the first 3 years in high school, I didn't even get in the lunch line because I was like, what if I drop something? What if somebody makes fun of me? Like what if the whole school just turns around and starts laughing at me? So like,
oh my God, that's so funny. That's interesting to me, Peter, because I associate you so clearly with Mike Dexter from, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do. That was such a formative movie for me that like, it's interesting to hear you say that would be the opposite of what I would have imagined you to be.
He was like the opposite of me. I mean, I took like three kids in high school and kind of formed that character around those three kids that I knew. But you must have been
like just physically. I mean, you must have been a good looking, muscular kid in high school, like a good looking kid.
I don't know. I mean, I
but
was
you didn't
kind
see
of,
yourself that yeah, way. It doesn't matter what you were.
Yeah, again, it's like what you believe, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I was like
yeah.
a wallflower who kind of was like friends with these kids and friends with these kids. I went to school with 3,500 kids, so I went to a big school. So
oh,
like
wow. in it was Queens, right?
Yeah, in Queens. So it was intimidating walking down the hallway with. That many kids.
Yeah.
And there was so many cliques and so many like groups. And so, when the bell rang, I kind of just got on the first bus home because I had to take like four buses to get home.
Wow. Wow.
And then I worked at a grocery store. So like, I
yeah,
went to
me
work.
Too.
Yeah. Awesome. That was fun. It was a fun time.
Me too. I know. Isn't it funny to look back at those times? Yeah. I sometimes, do you ever fantasize about doing that again? I mean, I sometimes romanticize it maybe, but when I am in a grocery store at a checkout, I was a checkout guy at a grocery store. I sometimes imagine I maybe sugarcoat the experience, but I have such fond memories of it.
It was fun. I was a stock boy. So like, the camaraderie of like, we go down the basement, we'd have we'd have food fights in the basement. They would get so mad. Yeah. There'd be like food all over the place. Nobody knew who did what, but we'd like be throwing marshmallows at each other and eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
We were just kids. I was like 15. But it was a good time.
Why did you have to take so many buses out of curiosity?
My school is just like an hour and 20 minutes away. I don't know why I went to that school. Like, I didn't know. It sounded like, oh, this was a prestigious school to go to.
Uh-huh.
But I never really went to visit it.
Hmm.
And nobody in my grammar school went to that school.
Hmm.
So,
do you ever say to them, like, hey, this is a hall. Why am I going to this
place?
No,
because it was just, it was known as a good school.
Yeah, it had a good
I had a good reputation. So I was like, oh, I'll go to that. I mean, technically, like, if you drive there, it was 25 minutes away, right?
But yes.
If you had to take the bus, I had to take four buses. So it was like an hour and a half. So it's just like when the bell rang, I just wanted to go home. So I was super shy. And then when I started acting, I felt like, oh, this is great. Cause like nobody could see me. They just see this character that I built. So then I was a lot freer within those characters.
That's a really common, I hear that a lot, Peter. Yeah, a lot of people who struggled with being seen or fitting in, they seek refuge in acting. I'm surprised to hear you say it, only because I guess I had this whole other image of you in my head. What was the thing that compelled you to want to try to act? Because for a shy kid, I imagine that would be a scary thing, to get up in front of other kids and perform.
It's funny, like when I was little, I was like 12 or 13. I saw Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Uh-huh.
And I just watched that movie and I thought, wow, those guys look like they're having so much fun. I want to do that. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to play cowboys,
Yeah, totally.
I just want to do that for a living. And then I told my parents and they kind of laughed at me because it was like, telling them I wanted to be an actor is like telling them I want to go to Mars,
Well, they were also, I didn't know this, they were telling, they were from Italy. They were first generation?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm first generation American. So they're actually, they're immigrants. Yeah,
immigrants.
Both from Italy. So they came here when they were like 18. And then they met here.
So they had thick accents? They had accents?
Yeah, they still do. They still do.
Wow. Yeah. And did they speak Italian in the house with you? Did you grow up with that?
When I was younger, I had three older sisters. I still do. I have three older sisters. So by the time they got to me, everybody was kind of speaking English, mostly English, because they didn't, you know, when they're immigrants, they were like, no, English is the, you know, we want everybody to speak English in the house. And so I wish they speak Italian more, because I wish I knew it better. My grandmother lived with us, and she only spoke Italian. So I had to like get by, you know, so I could understand it better than I speak it.
What did you call your grandmother? Did you have an Italian name for her?
Nonna.
Nonna, I was thinking, yeah. That's great. So, and I imagine, I mean, again, I don't want to make more assumptions because I've already made enough about you, but was it, because I have Italian grandmother
long as an Italian.
No, it's
unless it was shortened. It was like Longanello.
Yeah, Longanello. It was ironically shortened to Long. But it was, my grandmother was Finelli. It was, that side is Finelli and Iupa. So I'm about half Italian. But I remember that side having, you know, it was like stereotypical Italian meals and eat. I mean, my Aunt Rosie was, she literally said, eat, you have to eat more. You know, there's constantly pushing like delicious food on people. Was it that? Was it like that warm?
100%. Yeah. Like until a college, maybe senior year in high school, I had a girlfriend who made me those pizza pockets, frozen pizza pockets.
Yes.
And I thought those were the best things in the world because I never had one. Like I never had like a microwavable dinner. I never had, because my mom would cook this meal every, but like when you have these, you know, luxurious Italian meals every night, like the simple like French
fry. It's the forbidden fruit.
Like, yeah, I know. Like, oh my God, these are, what is this magical
thing? I know. That they put
and you
it
can
into
cook
a pocket?
It in 30 seconds.
I know, same thing. I love that stuff. I think it was like Elio's or something. Or like and those are little bagel bites.
Those are those little bagel bite pizza things. But she cooked every night. And she's an amazing cook. I'm blessed, to have such a great.
Yeah. You know, do you cook yourself? Did that rub off on you?
I mean, I do. It's I get lazy, so Postmates is so much easier.
But, yes, that is true.
But I do like to cook. I like to cook for an audience. It's funny because when I have people over, I'm like, oh, I like to cook. And, you know, I'll do this great meal. But if it's just me, I'll be like, ding, ding, ding. Hello.
Yeah. But now there's you're having your first. I couldn't help but notice, Lily. You guys are expecting your first.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Really cool. How does it feel? How are you feeling?
Really good. I mean, I remember last Christmas, my daughter's 15. My youngest is 15. Mm-hmm. I was getting a little sad and nostalgic because I remembered when they were growing up, we'd leave plates of cookies out for Santa and like salt for the reindeers. And like my dad used to do all these amazing things. Like he'd have bricks, like pieces of bricks that he'd leave outside. He'd be like, Santa was too fat for the chimney. Look, there's pieces of bricks all over my front yard.
Santa has a weight problem. Santa's morbidly obese. So he wasn't able to bring presents this year.
He ate your presents.
Yeah.
So I was getting sad because I was like, I guess I don't get to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are all grown up. So then, you know, I was talking to Lily, my fiance, and we're like, let's do it again. So we get to do it all again.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
I get to watch Disney movies again. I haven't seen like kids' Disney movies in a long time because I have a reason to see it.
I'm looking forward to that. I would love to do that. That sounds,
You're always in them. You're always voicing them, right?
I do a lot of those.
So you get to go to those.
Yeah, I guess so. I sit through some of those. But now I'll do it with like an audience that I care about.
Yeah. you don't have kids. Do you have kids?
No, but I'd love to. I would love to have that experience. I think it's the first time I'm really thinking about it seriously.
Yeah.
So I'm in a good place. But it must be strange also to have gone through that. And now you're doing it with somebody who is not familiar with that, who's yet to go through that. So does she feel Does she feel like, does she feel a safety in your experience and your wisdom having done it?
Well, she's been a great stepmom for years. So I think she's you know, understands what it's like to kind of parent older
kids. Right, of course.
Kids. You know, she's been through last 6 years with my kids who have all gone through like their teenage years.
Oh, that's a big,
It's teenage years are tough. They kind of go into their room at 15 and then, you know, they come out at dinner sometimes and then they go right back in their room and they come out when they're really, when they're 18, they come out and then they're like, they're normal again. They're just trying.
I need some money.
I'm like, what are they doing in that room? I don't know what they're doing in their room for 3 years, but.
Because you seem like a cool, you seem young. And again, maybe I'm just like imagining you as Mike Dexter. It's like a cool guy. But like, were they, and Twilight? I mean, that must have been a big thing for them growing up that you were in Twilight franchise. Did they get mileage out of that? Did it make you cooler in their eyes?
No, because it's like you can never be cool to your own kids, really. Like,
yeah, I guess
I remember.
So. Oh, man.
I mean, when Twilight first came out, my oldest was 15, which was like the age.
Yes.
For that movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like I embarrassed her being in it. Like, I think she would have liked it more if I wasn't in
Dad,
it.
Dad, what are you're ruining it.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I ruined it for her because like she wanted to like it, but she was like, I like Harry Potter. I was like, all right, I like Harry Potter too.
That's funny. It's like you got in the way. It's like you threw off the fantasy. Like it's kind of like a teen fantasy.
Yeah,
you kind of like your dad shows up.
Pop the bubble.
That's awful.
I remember I gave her a jacket. They gave me this leather jacket. It was like said Twilight on the back. I had like the Cullen crest. It was like this leather jacket that like any fan would have been like, oh my God, that's amazing. I was like, do you want this? And she was like, Dad, I'm not going to be a poster for your movie. I was like, okay.
That's funny. And were you tempted to give your kids, the kids that you have, were you tempted to give them Italian names, Italian sounding names?
I did kind of. Like my oldest one is Luca Bella, which is Italian.
Oh yeah.
It was just like, when you have a last name like Facinelli, it's hard to be like Mary Facinelli or like, you know, Bridget Facinelli. Yes. It's got to like flow because Luca Bella Facinelli sounds like a, you know, has a flow.
And Luca Bella Facinelli, but Luca Bella Facinelli has to learn Italian, to speak Italian.
But you know what? They have their Italian citizenship, which is cool. Like I have my Italian citizenship
through
my parents, so I was able to pass it down to them.
Oh, that's cool. Are any of them interested in acting? Did they get that? Because I know, you know, they have a lot of that in them.
Yeah, my oldest studied at NYU, which is funny because she went to the
like
same.
You did.
Yeah, she had some of the same teachers that I did, which was
funny. Wow, weird.
Yeah, which is really cool. But she's working in New York now, and she's, you know, kind of interested in lots of things. So I never pressure her because I'm like, with my family, I mean, my parents don't really care what I do. It's like, they still don't.
Yeah,
like, it's not like I could ever impress my dad because my dad's like, you know, John Wayne. That's a great actor.
That's an actor,
like,
yes.
You know, and I was like, I can't work with John Wayne because he's dead.
But he's but like, the wife doesn't matter.
He doesn't know anybody, you know? So I called him once. I was like,
really excited.
It's like, I said, I'm working with Drew Barrymore. And I thought that would impress him. And he goes, is he nice?
That's funny.
I was like, oh, forget it.
Did you tell her that story?
No, I never told her.
Oh, she would have. That is so funny. So what did they want you to do? I mean, if they had their druthers, what was your dad's idea of Italian immigrant? Imagine it's something to do. What would he have wanted you to do ideally?
Well, my dad was a waiter. So if you can imagine like the Italian waiter, you know, which, you know, was a profession. Now it's more like, oh, I'm waiting to like do
it's
this
a temporary thing.
Temporary thing. But when he came here, you know, he was working all the Manhattan, like fine dining restaurants. So I don't know. I mean, my parents never really pushed me in any direction, which is, I'm very thankful for because I didn't have overbearing parents, you know, like. They just kind of let me do.
Yeah, thankfully.
They were still kind of like didn't know much about anything because they were from Italy. Not that they didn't know much about anything, but they didn't.
But that's culture. I mean,
they didn't understand this culture as much. So like my, it sounds sad, but like my parents never came to any of my baseball games, you know, because they just, oh, he's going to baseball. You know what I mean? Huh. So yeah. like I would just go to baseball, play my baseball games, come home, but they never would like, you know, show up to that, or they wouldn't show up to things because they just didn't know that. Like, here's a perfect example. I told my dad, I said, you know, hey, NYU called me. This was like maybe when I was in my 20s, and they want me to give the speech to the incoming freshman. You know, it's really cool that they gave me this. It's such an honor that they asked me to like give a speech to the incoming freshman.
Yeah.
And my mom, I said, my mom goes, when is it? And I said, it's this coming Tuesday. You want to come? And she goes, I got to do laundry.
That's really funny. Oh my God.
I was like, okay.
Well, you should have asked NYU to move it off of laundry day.
My mom's got to do laundry today. So can we do it Wednesday?
Oh my gosh, it's funny.
But it's not like she means anything bad by it.
No,
like,
right.
But it's like for her, it's like she loves me whether I did whatever So for me, like when I was, you know, I don't want it to sound like it's a bad thing because like my parents didn't even know I was studying acting until I got a job. You know what I mean?
Oh
like,
my God. So like, but did it ever bother you? I mean, I know you have a very healthy outlook on it and you know where it comes from. You know that it's not ill-intentioned. But did it, was there a time where it was like, oh man, I would have liked for them to have.
Yeah, I think there's when I was growing up, I was like, you have the parents that are like, oh my God, look what my son made. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and just like, you want to put your artwork on the fridge.
And it's just like the biggest piece of junk, and their parents are beaming. Yes, and I was like, I kind of wish I had that. You know,
your parents were like, what is this? It's junk.
Yeah, what is this junk? Mom, I made it for school. It's in the way in the living room. Get it out.
It's an eyesore. My eyes are bleeding.
My eyes are bleeding. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again. Did you feel that was Can't Hardly Wait? Did you know it was going to be iconic? Did you know? Were the ingredients there? Was there? Do you have any way of knowing that that would be a movie that lasted? And were you nervous doing something like that? Were you able to employ the tactics that were you talking about when you did that movie?
I mean, it was one of my first movies. What was interesting when I was, you know, when I came out of theater school, you know, you get a little bit of air of like, oh, well, this is too this or this is too that. I want to do more Shakespeare. I want to do more of this
stuff.
Serious stuff. So I remember there was a movie that I was up for, and it was this cool little indie, and like, you know, it was a drama and some really heartfelt stuff in there. And then I had just finished this other movie. So this was like my third, probably my third or third movie, not like my first like studio movie. But, you know, I didn't even know the difference really between an indie and a studio movie at the time. I was just like, oh, this is work. This is work. And, you know, in some ways, indie movies were like cooler to me because they were like, you know, you get to sink your teeth into those more, whereas the studio movies more like.
It was also such a vibrant time for indies. I mean, it was a time where like Quentin Tarantino and, you know, Kevin Smith, there were a lot of like really great Hal Hartley, these movies being made that were, I remember even in the movie magazines, I remember seeing you in the movie magazines and like, you know, these were the new up and coming guys and they had done, yeah, there was something about indies that were, it was like kind of cool. I know, yeah, even as like a movie fan, just watching from the outside.
Something that you could like, it's like, oh, indies you can really sink your teeth in, and studio movies are a little bit more fluffy at the time, right?
Yeah.
So then Can't Hardly Wait came, and I remember I went out and read for it, and then I ended up getting it, but it conflicted with this indie. So I almost didn't do Can't Hardly Wait because I was like, you know, I want to do this independent film, and, you know, I don't want to do this studio movie because this indie has more grit. Well, and my agents were like, you're crazy. Like, do the studio movie. And then the other movie pushed. So I was actually able to do both.
What was the other movie?
It was a movie that nobody saw. So I'm so thankful that, like, I actually did this one because I would have passed on doing the studio movie that everybody saw. And, and the other movie would have came and went. It was called, like, Blue Ridge Falls or something.
Oh, and, I kind of remember that.
Was Amy Smart in that? No, it was me, Jay Ferguson.
Oh, Jay Ferguson, J.R. Ferguson.
I don't remember
out
of the other cast, but it was really cool. It was these high school kids, and one kid is autistic, and I'm like the high school quarterback, and I befriend this autistic kid, and then he ends up killing his dad because his dad was abusive, so he snaps.
Yeah.
So then my character feels bad for him, so he ends up like hiding his dad's body because his dad was like mean, you know, abusive, drunk.
Well, spoiler alert, I don't have to see Blue Ridge Falls.
Join the club of the other people I didn't see.
Yeah. Peter, were you a football player? I mean, you started playing a lot of –
I never played football. I was too shy. I played baseball, but like on a church league. But anyway, so he ends up like hiding the dad's body. This other guy gets blamed for it on the team, who's black because they're racist in that town. And then I have to like come clean because I don't want that kid to get in trouble. And then I end up going on the run. It's not a very Mike Dexter part. No, it was a very gritty, cool piece. But it was an indie and it kind of came and went.
Yeah. No, I know. I did a few of those. I'm like, well, you didn't see it. I always say like, I preface it by saying you didn't see it. I loved your scene with drunk Jerry O'Connell, friend of the show, Jerry, best friend of the show, Jerry.
Love Jerry.
Yes. What are some good, give me a good Jerry anecdote. By the way, were you guys at NYU at the same time?
You know, I went with his brother. I knew his brother more than Jerry, but I knew Jerry back then through his brother, Charlie.
Yeah.
And, who else was in my school? Skeet Ulrich, you know Skeet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Skeet was like 2 or 3 years older than me. And so he was just like in senior while I was a freshman. Then he blew up and we were like, wow, people can do it. Wow.
You know? Yeah. The gig must have encouraged you guys. You know, Skeet means something really disgusting. Skeet is kind of like a naughty word now.
Oh, really?
I didn't know this. Some kids came up to me in Michigan with a camcorder in my face, and this was years ago, and they said, hey, do you skeet? And I said, I thought they were talking about like skate. Skeet. I said, yeah, skeet, like skate. And they were like, no, like skeet. I said, yeah, okay. I just wanted them gone. Yeah, I just wanted to like end the moment. So I said, yeah, and they started giggling. And I come to find out it's I think it means like.
Weird. Sexual word.
I think it means to ejaculate.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, Skeet. So I wonder if Mr. and Mrs. Ulrich knew that when they named Skeet that. Anyway, I should say that for the Skeet Ulrich episode.
Yeah.
I'll ask Skeets. You knew Jerry a little bit when you did that scene.
So I knew him a little bit. Weirdly, him and Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Neil Patrick Harris taught me a magic trick with a fork that I always use. He was cool even back then.
What was the trick?
It's like a bending spoon trick. and then you go like that, and then it breaks off, you know. But I don't want to tell you how to do it.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm surprised he told you how to do it. He's very protective of his magic tricks.
Well, this was way back, like, when he first started doing, I think, magic, because it was like, he must have been like 1920. But I haven't seen him in a while. He's doing great. So anyway, so Jerry and I knew a little bit, and then we did Can't Hardly Wait together. And then I've just, you know, I've known him through the years. That the last Jerry story I have is, I was at the airport maybe like 6 months ago, and I was dropping my daughter off. And this is how funny the universe is, because like she's going in the door and I'm like, let me just wait and make sure she doesn't like forget something, you know? And as I'm waiting there to make sure she doesn't come back, I see Jerry O'Connell walk by. Yeah. I'm like, Jerry, you bum.
Yeah.
I love your work. Yeah, and then he got all nervous. And then he was like, Fetch? And I was like, yeah. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I just landed. I said, hop in, I'll give you a ride. And I gave him a ride home.
Oh,
and,
that's funny. Yeah, I'll take a ride.
Yeah, I'll take a ride. So, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so Jerry gets in. What do you start talking about? Does Jerry just starts going, right? I mean, it's hard to.
So what have you been up to? What's going on? How you been? How's it going?
Yeah.
You look great, man.
You look good.
You look good. But he always means it. He doesn't come off. He doesn't come off as disgenuine. No. I was talking about Bitcoin back then. I was like, buy Bitcoin. Hope he didn't buy it because it crashed. And he's going to hate me. But
I got to ask him. Yeah, Peter Facinelli got me into Bitcoin.
I lost all my money.
Yeah. Peter, did things change radically? Did you notice a change in the world? Just walking through the world when Twilight came out. Like, what was that experience like?
I mean, it was very special because it was kind of like being part of the Beatles. Like everywhere where you went, there's just like screams, waves of screaming fans, you know what I mean? But you knew it wasn't real. Like it was like surreal.
Well, you knew it wasn't. I mean, like you had, I imagine, a good foundation for that and had, you understood the waves of this business and like the, you know, but was there ever a time where you, when you were younger, where you didn't quite understand, where you didn't have your feet as firmly on the ground and like you were getting hyped or you were getting, you know, attention and it felt, did you ever lose yourself?
No. No, if anything, it's always been the opposite. Like I've never, even when I've been successful, I've been like, man, I can't wait till I'm like, have that one hit. Oh, that. And you're just like, and people are looking at you like, what?
Yeah, you know? Like I can't hardly wait, but you were in that.
Yeah. So, when it first came, I was like, I remember going to a premiere with a friend of mine and I took my best friend from like when we were younger and he's kind of Hispanic, and he's like darker skin. So I said, when you get out, just wave. They'll think you're one of the werewolves. You know?
That's funny.
So he got out, and he started waving, and everybody started screaming. So I said, see that? And they really thought he was like,
he just went like, movie. He just did like a
and they were like literally screaming for him. And,
that's wild.
So that's when you know, hey, like anybody that played Carlisle, like anybody that played those roles, like they would have got the same attention. So you're like, all right, well, you know, you go and you give your work over, but you also take it with a grain of salt.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, hello again, shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
We have a lightning round, if you don't mind, Peter. I know we got to
Sure,
but
sure.
This is a quick one. What is your favorite emoji? What is your go-to emoji? Or what one are you, like, have you found yourself going to lately?
I like the winky one.
Yeah,
winky one. But also, there's one, it's hard to describe, it's kind of like a full smile, but it's like a, you know, kind of like a cute smile with the little, yeah, with the little red cheek. So it's kind of
Kind of embarrassed smile.
Yeah.
Is it the one, do they have the hands up? Is it like...
No, they're not the hands. It's just like
yes,
the,
I know. Yeah, I like that one. It's a little slightly embarrassed. It is.
Yeah.
Who was your first? Speaking of slightly embarrassed, who was your first celebrity crush?
Well, I had two. I think they were like everybody's of my age.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Well, Jennifer Love Hewitt is a staple for sure.
Uh-huh.
It was Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
From Who's the Boss. And then there was Danica. What's her name?
Danica McKellar. Yes, from the Wonder Years.
Wonder Years. Yeah.
Oh, the best. Danica and her sister. I always liked her sister who played Becky Slater. Did you know that they were sisters?
No, I didn't even know that.
Danica's sister was Becky Slater, who was kind of like... Her character was more of, I don't know if you can say town boy anymore. I don't think you can. But if you can, let's say, let me get a boomer pass and say... She was the tomboy on the show. But yeah, Danica, and I got to work with Danica. I was playing like a math genius, and she was playing the like cute cheerleader next door who was constantly bouncing on a trampoline. And in real life, our roles were not totally reversed because I wasn't a cute cheerleader, but I knew nothing about math, and Danica was like a math genius. She's like a math whiz, and in fact has a theorem named after her that she discovered.
Wow.
A theorem. Yeah,
that is crazy. She was
crazy, right? So probably not to add to your crush, but she's also very bright. What is your favorite? But Alyssa Milano has never created a theorem. She has no theorems named after her. What was your what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, wow. I like a good chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yes.
I mean, always good.
Favorite holiday? You mentioned Christmas.
That's a tough one. I think it might be Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's got to be fun with kids. That I'm looking forward to.
It's just super fun to dress. Again, it's like you dress up. I get, you know, we get to do it all year round.
Yeah,
dress
I
up
know,
like other
I know.
People. But
for the kids.
But like doing it. Just dressing up. I get to have a good Halloween party. You know what I mean? Have people come in costume. It's like
totally.
A good theme party. They don't have enough theme parties.
I know. My girlfriend and I have been talking about what we're going to try to do this year. We have every couple of weeks, we have a new idea.
My dream has always been to have that like masquerade ball party. That would be
like
cool.
Eyes Wide Shut?
Like, Eyes Wide Shut, but not with like the sex accent. But just with the...
Do you want an Eyes Wide Shut party without the sex part?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem...
just the masquerade stuff.
Yes, yes. All right. What is an acclaimed movie that you're embarrassed to admit you haven't seen, that people are kind of like maybe shaming you for?
Oh, you know... I've seen a lot of movies, but you know what I haven't seen? There's a, you know, the Marilyn Monroe one where her dress goes up.
Oh yes. That's not Some Like It Hot. That's Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
I haven't seen it either. That cause it's
gonna
we gotta
kill
Google
me. It. Yeah.
But I just saw a video about that the other day. I was like, you know, I've never seen that movie. And I was kind of embarrassed that myself.
I don't think it's like that. Well, I don't think it's one of her So now when you look up Marilyn Monroe dress.
Seven-year itch. There you go. Seven-year itch.
Mish, that's good call. Seven-year itch, I've never seen either. Yeah.
So. Have you seen all the Twilight movies? All four, to be honest?
I'll be honest, just lie. Yes, all four of them several times over. No, I haven't.
In preparation. You
know, I haven't seen Harry Potter. I know. I saw them all at once. I saw them all, but sped up. So I watched all four Twilight movies in 20 minutes. But I haven't seen Harry Potter. I only recently saw Fried Green Tomatoes, which I don't know if that's considered like one that you should be, that people get shamed for, but they should because it's so good. Mm. Anyway, this is not a show about me. This is about you. What is a game show, past or present, that you would like to be on, a contestant on?
Are these supposed to be speed rounds?
That's okay.
I think Wheel of Fortune would be fun.
Yeah.
I like to spin that wheel.
Yeah, that would be fun. Iconic. And
then there used to be a game.
I'm so afraid. I've always been afraid when I imagine it that I wouldn't spin it very hard, that I'd just be like, dit, 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 dit. You know, I would give it like a week.
As a matter of fact, when I go to Vegas, there's always that like the.
Yes.
What's that called? The
craps. Thing.
Yeah, no, it's one of those machines.
Oh, really? That you spin?
No, you don't spin it, but it has like a wheel on top.
A slot machine?
Yeah, a slot machine. That's it.
Yeah.
Slot machine. It's like a COVID brain. A slot machine. Yeah. Since we've been in quarantine for the last couple of years, all of a sudden I'm like, what do you call the thing? Oh, Uber.
Yeah, I know. It's a thing. You dig ice cream with it. It's like a shovel, but smaller. A spoon. Yeah. I know.
So yeah, a slot machine that has like the Wheel of Fortune thing. And if you land on it, then all of a sudden it like spins. And I'm always like, I got to land on it. Anyway,
yeah, it'd be fun. And I just love Pat Sajak. To me, Pat Sajak does it better than anybody. He is so charming. You know how hard that is to do, like to be like, you know, to be at those, whatever, if it's a cocktail party or some Hollywood thing, to be like effortlessly without sounding schmoozy and fake. He's his small talk game is just the best.
He's engaging.
Engaging with people who are like usually like kind of uncomfortable to be on TV.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of go in and out and like make them feel good and make a little funny thing out of whatever they've said. He's so good, I think.
You're old enough to remember this game. Remember the one with the whammies? There was like this little thing and.
No whammy.
Yeah.
They redid that. I think.
Press your luck.
Press your luck. Elizabeth Banks, I think, redid that.
Oh, really? That would have been fun. I used to love that. No whammy.
Yeah. Do you drink coffee, Peter, or tea?
I drink tea. I'm more of a tea guy. But when I'm working on sets, like I'll drink coffee. I always have this idea that it'll like, oh, this gives me energy, but it doesn't. It's just like sour.
No, I know. You know, it's funny. I stopped drinking. I was in Ireland working, and so they only drink, you know, for the most part, it's Irish breakfast. So I started drinking. I wanted to assimilate into the culture. So I drank Irish breakfast tea and really got into it. And now I find myself not needing
that too. English breakfast tea. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, a little punch. If you could learn another language, what would it be? Would it be Italian?
It would be Italian. I mean, I know a little Italian. I know a little Spanish. Uh-huh, so, like, yeah. I'll go down to Mexico and I'm speaking half Italian, half Spanish. So I'd like to know. I'd love to be a.
Which one's which?
Yeah, I'd like to be fluent in like both of them. That would be really cool.
Yeah. What is your favorite cereal?
Panda Puffs.
Panda Puffs? Is that like a Whole Foods thing?
Yeah.
I've seen those.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Ah, okay. Well, there's more of those in your future. You'd be able to enjoy them with a little kid. If you had to choose a different first name, there's nothing wrong with Peter, but you hate Peter.
Yeah, because again, like Peter doesn't really. I don't know. I felt like it kind of flowed with Facinelli.
Facinelli,
right?
Yeah. You want to be like Mario or.
Yeah, or my middle name is Alessandro.
And I always thought that's that more
been
of cool. A...
Alessandro Facinelli would have been very Italian, but it's like, you know, it's just had a cool flow.
Alessandro Facinelli. Well, you could have gone by that when you became a professional.
I could have. I had a hardest time. I almost changed my name a couple of times, but I couldn't like settle on one that I liked. So I was just like,
well, back in the day, that was when they wanted you to sound less ethnic. They were de-ethnicizing certain names. So yeah,
I think my manager, because that guy Mark became my manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he kind of talked me out of it. He was like, Facinelli, it's a very, you know, I was like, and it was like well, Schwarzenegger, you think that's a tough name? Like people, yeah. It's that he made me go, he said, you know, it's the person who makes the name, not the name who makes the person.
So oh, that's I was good. Like, that's good. Yeah, to know. I'm glad. If you had a sandwich, well, what name would you choose, Peter?
Alessandro, probably. I think yeah. Alessandro.
And if you had a sandwich named after you, the Peter Facinelli sandwich, what would be on it? What would be your sandwich?
The Peter prosciutto panini. The Peter panini prosciutto panini.
It would be a prosciutto panini. What would be specifically though? What would be in the sandwich?
You'd have prosciutto, a little maybe some Parmesan cheese. Sounds disgusting, but it's actually pretty good.
No,
and
doesn't.
Then you just kind of like maybe a little crunchy melt, you know, press it into a little.
Yum. Melt. Yes. Mm. Yeah. There's, of all places, I was in Bulgaria. I don't know if you've ever worked in Bulgaria. Sofia, the best prosciutto panini I've ever had in my life.
I remember going to Italy and like you go to a gas station and they come out in these overalls that are like immaculate. They're like, go inside. I have to take care of your car. And they fill your car with gas. They check your oil. And when you're inside, they like have these prosciutto sandwiches.
Oh, wow.
Like,
really?
And you're like, wow, this is, you go to a gas station here. It's like, you don't want to touch anything. But there, it's like, I was like, I love Italy. You sit down and have a prosciutto sandwich while you get gas.
Yeah. Oh, here you'd be like, hey, bud, do you have prosciutto sandwiches? We got Hot Pockets and 12-year-old hot dogs that are a bit of wrinkled into a state of barely being like barely being hot dogs at this point. If you had a if you were watching a Tom Hanks movie would you most want to see? Like if you had a choice of any Tom Hanks movie.
Wow, there's so many great ones. The one with
the first one you'll show your kids, I guess.
The one with the volleyball comes to mind. What was that one funny? Called?
That is Castaway.
It's Castaway. I don't know why that comes to mind. But I mean, I'm really
it's
excited
great.
To watch.
It's a great movie.
I'm really excited to watch Elvis. I haven't seen it yet.
I've
been waiting
too.
For my kids.
Yes.
So I think that'll be the go-to Tom Hanks one because I'm pretty sure I'm going to love that one. I'm an Elvis fan.
And if you are you more of a night or morning person?
Night.
And do you have a routine at night that you like a kind of deep down regulating routine?
Yeah, I do listen to a lot of like hypnotherapy tapes or like meditative tapes just to kind of put me in a relaxed mode. And that usually puts me right out.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
Kind of like slows my mind down.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I bet. And do you have a preference, the toilet roll over or under?
I mean, probably under, but I never really thought about it.
Okay.
I mean, probably under because sometimes when you go over, it feels like it rips more. You know what I mean?
Huh.
Like the gravity feels like if it's under, you'll get more of that spin if you need. But if
it's
over,
it's never been an issue. Like you
and
Lily
have tugging,
never.
You're either tugging or you're pulling from
the
bottom. So it feels like gravity helps.
I always think over is just easier access. I mean, I go under and then you have to figure out where it's perforated and I don't know. But this is about you. Finish, if you wouldn't mind, Peter, this is our last question. If you would, it's not even a question. It's a request to finish this sentence. Life is short, so.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
It's great. Well, ding, and that's it. I've enjoyed this so much
while
it lasted, and it is done. That's it.
Thank you.
Free.
Thank you, man. You're a cool guy. I'm sorry I didn't remember a meeting, but.
Oh, my God, Peter. No, it was so, truly, we were at opposite. I only remember because I knew who you were, and it was kind of like surreal to me. All right, buddy. This was so fun. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Best
Congrats
of luck with the movies.
Show.
Thanks
very much.
And the
See
baby.
You Thank you.
So that just happened. Yeah, there's a little bit of like
cool guy voice.
I don't know if it's just my association with Can't Hardly Wait that I've seen that movie so many times.
Have you really?
Yes, we watch it every time it's on. It's one of those movies.
I know I do, but I'm a little
surprised.
Well,
we are often watching TV together.
That's true.
I you know it better. You know, both have to watch Can't Hardly Wait.
I mean, I'm not like bragging about it. Like, no, I watch it more.
It's iconic.
It is. It's also like one of those movies that has so many people in it that ended up becoming huge.
I think that's part of the
stars.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh my God, it's so fun to see a huge star have like two lines.
I know. Little part. You know, like Jason Segel has a really tiny part.
Yeah.
Lauren Ambrose, Seth Green. So a lot of friends of the show. Donald Faison.
I wonder if that movie has the most friends of the show.
Oh, that's a good question. Jerry, of course, best friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
You think Jerry's listening?
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't he say when he listens? Jerry sent us the other day, he texted us a very macabre, a very grim story that happened in a news story that happened in Connecticut. And he said, your neighbors. So you never know what you're going to get when you open a Jerry text.
No.
Kind of fun.
No, I know. It's fun. Yeah. He's got a wide range of.
Could be about the Jets preseason.
It often is.
It often is, yeah.
Yeah, but that movie might. I'm curious now to find out what single movie has the most guests.
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. Who would do that? Do you think there's shorties that are into the show enough that are shorties and big enough shorties?
I don't want to sound arrogant, but I have a feeling.
You think?
How
would you find
also that? Because there are enough smart people out there who are good at technology, and there's enough technology out there that I think would be pretty easily able to discover something like that, mm-hmm. You know?
Anyway, yeah, it was, it's a movie chock full of friends. Everyone's so good in it too. I mean, when you have really good acting and that coming of age, that time is so special.
I love those movies in general, coming of
age.
You both
love coming of age movies, Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it is sort of the next type of that movie that was huge after Dazed and Confused, wasn't it?
Yeah. What else? What were other like seminal? I mean,
about a party. I never realized that they're very similar in that way.
Yeah. It's one night.
It's one night.
Yeah.
Last day of high school.
Yeah.
It's very similar. And he is great in that movie. So convincing.
I know.
Which is why I was very surprised to learn that he was shy and not a big jock and not Mr. Popular,
because in that movie
he is completely convincing as that kind of guy.
A cocky and like Eric. I mean, just really like everyone's known those guys. And
yeah.
Like he really captured that. You're right, and it's so solidified in my head as who he is. I mean, that's happened before on the show, where I'm surprised by how
I know
somebody really
those guys in high school who are like brilliant at picking on people.
Yes,
you know, it's like they've got it down to an art form.
Yeah, and there's like when you see it now through the lens of like a wiser, more adult lens, you recognize their own hurt, you know, that they're like clearly covering up for something, whether it's whatever struggle that they have, and a little sadism, you know, the way Peter played it in there's a little, he like took real glee. You know, I remember like some bullying incidents in school where like kids, there were some kids who just like had like, they got excited about, you know, if some kid said the wrong thing or he said something that like would set them up to be made fun of. Like there were kids who like lit up.
They relished in it.
At the chance to like pounce.
But in that movie at the end, I don't know if you remember this, but he gets very vulnerable and he cries and he opens up and he reveals that he does have these insecurities.
Yeah.
And then I love that scene.
It gets weaponized.
He flips it back and the nerdy character thinks that they're friends. He's like, oh, hey, good to see
you.
He's like, what are you doing, nerd? Get away from my table. Because that was just a moment of vulnerability he had at a party when he was drunk.
Totally.
Some people just have luck.
Yes.
I can't believe he didn't remember meeting you.
Oh, well, that's flattering. I sort of can. I
know why he doesn't remember meeting me or other people there, you know, that, but he, you talked to him a lot.
We did, actually.
I mean, we all talked to him a lot, but.
We did.
He had, and it didn't even ring a bell.
No.
He was like, we did?
Like, I thought he would, and then I felt, you know, does this ever happen to you when you're like, oh, yes, we met at the, then you feel immediately, like, embarrassed for having remembered so well when the other person.
Of course, because you think that the person you're talking to is imagining you building it up to this important thing in your life, and it's like you've been thinking about it.
Well, that must happen with other people with me, because it happens with actors. It happens with people that you already have an awareness of. You already like he's always already somebody that I, in a way, I know. You know, having seen that movie 100 times.
I know.
He was and Jenny Garth. He was sitting right next to Jenny Garth, who of course we know from 90210.
Of course, Kelly Taylor. But you like overdid it a little bit. You were like, I just, when I met you, it was like surreal that I was like,
I know.
It's like, I don't know if it was surreal.
Well,
but
he was, I know.
But then you told him the story. You told him the story about Kier thinking he was a race car driver, and he was like, oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. He did not remember at all. I wonder if Jenny Garth remembers. I tell you who doesn't probably remember not. For sure.
Chris Noth.
Yeah. There's Noth way he remembers.
No, he, no, Noth way. He was.
What is he up to?
He had tied one on that night.
Oh, he had.
But I think Peter Facinelli wanted to be your friend, despite having not remembered you.
Which then.
And despite you not having seen any of the Twilight movies.
Yeah. He didn't. Was he bothered by that?
I don't think so.
No.
I think he was like playfully bothered by it. He was like, to prepare for this, did you see all four?
Yeah, no, he was fun. He had fun with it. And but then I thought, like, well, that is so nice. And it would be nice to, like, meet up with him. I really enjoyed talking to him.
It would be funny if now I, like, can't get in touch with you because you're, like, always busy with Peter Facinelli.
We start doing a podcast together.
Let's read a letter.
Okay.
Oh. I have it.
I just read it.
You just thought you were in a different room.
Yeah, the old studio. I like that. Christian has his Heart of the Champion trophy that we won on the Kevin Hart show. This is a letter from Michael Magui.
Magui?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
Normal way. Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L.
No, Magui.
By the way, I tell you, I always have a hard time spelling Michael, in all seriousness.
I know you've said that.
Magui is M and then a little C. That would be tough for me. That's Scottish. M, a little C.
I thought Scottish was M-A-C.
Isn't it both? Like, isn't it either one?
MacDougall.
What is that, Irish?
I don't know.
I should know this. Yeah. Big Ireland, Irish file. M, little C, big G, O-E-Y, Magui.
O-E-Y, Magui?
Magui. You know what I've resigned myself to never being able to spell is McConaughey.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Try it.
M-C-C-O-N... A-U-G-H-E-Y.
You might be right.
I think I am.
Holy shit.
I think I forced myself to learn.
Oh, really?
Because
maybe I know it now,
it's
too.
It's like laugh. I remember thinking the nahi is like L-A-U-G-H.
M-C. Okay, wait. Let me try it. M-C-C-O-N-A-U-G-H-E-Y?
Yeah, I think
Holy shit. Subject. Grandma Jody Conservation. Nola. Would you rather, a.k.a. I should read it as he wrote it. Grandma Jody Conservation Nola YWR AKA WYR. That's fine.
He knows you have a problem.
Yes, and I do. And I had a hard time just reading it. Good morning. Oh, sorry, man. I messed up a second word of his letter. Oh boy. Good morrow, Justin and Christian. Is good morrow good tomorrow? A good tomorrow? Good morrow. Does that mean good day?
Oh, I don't know.
Back to Michael. Sorry.
There's so many things I don't know. I find myself saying I don't know all the time.
But isn't that exciting about like, it's something that it means you can't hardly wait to learn something new.
There you go. And the glass is half full.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Back to Michael Magui.
Or Magui.
Sorry. No, sorry. I just had to hear Justin say that because there's no way to say it without sounding nerdy. That's funny. It's true. Good morrow.
Well, he really does listen to the show.
He does. He's funny. Good. It's true. Good morrow, Justin and Christian. It is hard to say.
Good morrow.
It's hard to say cool. Try to say that it's cool.
Like casual cool?
Yeah.
Good morrow.
Good morrow. Good morrow.
Try to picture Mike Dexter saying it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Good morrow.
Good morrow, nerd.
Good morrow.
Good morrow. Hey, good morrow, guys. I guess that's my cool voice. That's not cool. It's like, you just like a slacker. Anyway, please, back to Michael. Please forgive me because there is a lot to unpack in this email. First, I would like to extend my condolences on the passing of your grandma, Jody. Oh, it was amazing to listen to her episode, and I thank you for sharing her stories with us. That's really nice to hear, and not to be further downcast, but we just found out that we lost our other grandmother. So shout out to our relatives on that side. Our Lorraine Long, our grandma, passed away. She was 105. Pretty incredible. And a really fun person. And
a good mom.
Good mom, yeah. So we're grateful to her for giving us such a great dad. And obviously to Grandma Jody for giving us the best mom you could ask for. So thank you for that, Michael. We think about her all the time. And it's so nice that other people kind of know her a little bit now. It really makes us happy. Back to Michael. I discovered your podcast recently and heard your voice memo at the end of the Darcy Carden episode regarding your grandmother. Seeing the date of the episode, February 9th, 2021, coupled with your message, brought back a flood of emotions for me as my father passed away on February 8th. Wow. 2021. I'm sorry to hear that. His passing was the last of a series in my family over the last 2 years. We also lost my grandfather, grandmother, and my wife's grandmother. But hearing your message about your grandmother brought a sense of comfort, knowing that we all experience grief and we are not alone in it. Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about that recently, Michael. Secondly, I would like to thank you for both the Jeff Corwin and Jane Goodall episodes. Hearing Jeff and Jane each discuss how dire our environmental issues are has inspired me to look at my family's impact to see what we can do better to recycle or use less. That's so great.
The two of them should have a podcast together.
Yes. Oh, man.
Saving the planet with Jeff and Jane.
The only reason I don't want to say that is because it would definitely be better than our podcast, but it should be. It's more valuable.
It's more
for
important.
The world. Yes. Yes. That was selfish. It was a selfish thought I had. Back to Michael. We have started Meatless Fridays. Great. Which, as Catholics, wasn't a hard switch. Yeah, I'll bet. And I also bought my family a zoo membership so we can better educate ourselves, especially my kids, on conservation and what measures we can take in our area. That's awesome. I also want to thank you and Anthony Mackie for your conservation. Oh, boy. I also want to thank you and Anthony Mackie for your conversation about the city of New Orleans. My family and I live just north of New Orleans in a suburban town called Slidell. I know Slidell.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Even though I visit often, I think I was beginning to take NOLA for granted. But hearing you two gush over all the people and places around the city reopened my eyes to just how magical and special the city is.
Oh, man, it's the best. Is it ever? I miss that city. I haven't been there in so long.
You don't both have to miss New Orleans. I know. Man, I know we won't go on. We won't labor the point. But yeah, Anthony lives there and obviously is in love with it. Lastly, I just want to say thank you for the podcast. Your brotherly banter, vulnerability, and honesty truly come off as genuine and relatable. Listening to your conversations always brightens up my day. That's awesome. Thank you, Michael. It brightens our day, too. It's so fun to do. He has would you rathers. Would you rathers? Yes, from my 7-year-old daughter, Katie. Katie with a C. Cool. Cool with a K. These are always my favorites. Okay. I'm so excited. Would you rather have to always be barefoot indoors and stub your toe every time you enter a room? That's good. Or fall back in your seat and hit your head every time you sit? That's such a good question.
Well, as much as I hate stubbing my toe, I value my head more than my foot. So I would rather stub my toe than hit my head.
You know what?
You know that feeling of hitting your head when you're not – and it's like –
Okay, so you can't
– And you get that like the starry
– Yes, it's terrible.
It's a terrible feeling.
And also eventually you'd get – pretty quickly you become – You'd have damage.
That's the real problem.
Yeah, CTE. Right. Oh, well, I guess I'd have to choose that too. Even like, but stubbing toes every time. You wouldn't want to. I would just spend less time indoors.
Or less time sitting.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. How often do I sit? But it's nice to sit.
I know.
I mean, we'd have to be doing this stand.
You know what you do? You would make your house.
I'd wear a helmet.
If this was a thing for the rest of your life, you'd have to make your house one huge room.
And yeah, you're right. And padded. You know, nice carpeting, shag carpeting.
Yeah. It wouldn't be that bad. One big open space.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
There's another one. Would you rather always have a hair in your mouth that you can't get out?
Oof. I just pictured that, and that's a horrible
thing. That's a tough one.
I wouldn't be able to do anything else in my life.
No, I know.
When you have a hair in your mouth,
you can't concentrate on
anything.
You
can't think about anything. No. You can't talk about anything.
This is TMI, but even during the really fun
Right.
Times.
All right. Yep. What's the other thing? Yes. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Yes.
Or.
During the really fun times.
Or always have an eyelash in your, always have an eyelash in your eye that you can't get out.
I would rather have the eyelash.
You would. Yeah. I would just.
Because I often don't, you often don't feel that when you have an eyelash in your eye. You look in the mirror. So sometimes, and you see like an eyelash on your eyeball.
But I have a real thing about that.
I would rather have that.
than a hair in your mouth.
Yeah, there's something about a hair in the mouth is just.
But if you knew that it was always there, you probably get
always hair.
Hair. Oh, that's a good one. I might do. I might get more used to the mouth one.
Wow.
Because eating and stuff like what it just never goes away. So you. I think I might get more. Also, I have this mustache now, so I have been getting little hairs in there. Which is awful. You gross. Have a mustache too.
I know it's starting to dip into my past my lip.
Did you not trim? You haven't trimmed yours?
I'm not yet. No, have you?
Yeah, I did it the other day, which is gross, and it just like reveals your lips. It's in the summertime. It's been hot around here. It's especially awful. I can't hardly wait to shave it.
Okay.
Anyway, back to Michael. Thank you, Mike. Oh yes, Mike McGowey.
McGowey? Oh, I was right.
You were right. McGowey, Slidell, Louisiana. P.S. I absolutely loved hearing Justin find out the truth about Jessica Rabbit's feet. Oh, man. I remember that. It had me rolling. I could literally hear his mind being blown. Also, please get Jeff Goldblum on the show. He is a delight for the senses and keeps getting better with age. I couldn't agree more. And one of these days, I'm going to read my correspondence. I'm just working on my Jeff Goldblum impression. I have to work on it. Because that my text correspondence with him about doing the show.
You've been trying for like 3 years, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, yeah. Every, I would say maybe 9-10 months, I'll check in with him.
And he's never said no.
He's never said no, but he punts it in the funniest, most Jeff Goldblum-y ways. And in the most like eloquent, like it's almost better than having him on the show. It's just the
not for the listeners.
No, just very selfish. Anyway, Mike, what a great letter. Thank you. And I'm so sorry for all of the loss that you're contending with, and wishing you luck on that journey. And thanks to Katie McGowey, for those great Would You Rathers.
Great Would You Rathers.
Good one. Kids say the darndest things. Kids have the best.
I know. And if you guys would like to write into the show, our email address is lifeisshort@wondery.com. And thanks to Peter Facinelli.
Yes.
What a guy.
What a fascinating guy.
Maybe your future friend.
Yeah, my fatcher friend. Thank you to everyone for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-boom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It is co-hosted by the tagline innovator,
Christian Long.
He's also a producer. Another producer is Megan,
the
Monaco, and Katie,
the
Allen. Senior producer,
Michelle,
Mish,
Lands.
Audio engineer,
Sergio Enriquez.
Executive producer, handsome.
Very handsome, Marshall Louis.
And no stranger to podcasts, we do it for a company called
Wondery.
So your whole name is Reynold Doodoo?
Right.
Oh. D-O-D-O-O?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be Doodoo?
Yeah, Doodoo.
Oh, it's Doodoo.
Yeah, Doodoo.
No, I think you said Doodoo.
Americans call it Doodoo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but normally you call it, originally it's Doodoo.
Oh, it's Doodoo, okay.
Yeah.
And is that, don't tell me, you're from where originally? I'm going to try to guess.
Uh-huh.
West Africa.
Correct.
Senegal? No, Ghana.
Correct.
Is it?
Yeah.
Second guess.
You got it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Reynolds?
Ghana, yeah.
Whoa. Doodoo. Yeah. Reynolds Doodoo.
Have you been there before?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'd love to go.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Once upon a beat! Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.